Hey everyone, Beyond the Baseline is brought to you by FreshBooks. It's smart mobile accounting designed specifically for freelancers and small business owners. You could make the case a tennis player is a small business owner. It would be great for a pro tennis player too. Say a young American ranked number 81. You can try FreshBooks for 30 days on us. No credit card required. Go to FreshBooks.com/sports. Go to FreshBooks.com/sports. Enter sports in the How You Heard About Us section and you'll be able to experience FreshBooks for yourself. I think this adjustment to the pros, again, from where you were a year ago is really interesting. I mean, is it weird to look at these draws and sort of see these players that were the stars when you were a kid?
I mean, when you stop and think about it, it's pretty crazy that all these people that, you know, obviously, being around tennis my whole life, I grew up like these guys were winning all the slams, and you know they were the biggest names in tennis. And then to see, you know, that's when I was like 12 years old. Now, you know, it's crazy that I can possibly play them first round pretty much any tournament.
Everyone, John Wertheim here. This is this week's Sports Illustrated Tennis Podcast. Our guest this week is the flavor of the month, 2 months for 2016, Taylor Fritz, 18-year-old American. He is now up to number 81, and he is not defending a whole lot of points. This has caused some real optimism in tennis circles. Always a balance. You don't want to hype the kids too much. On the other hand, you have an 18-year-old who's top 100 with a bullet, and you probably ought to comment on that. A little jarring, I will concede, to interview a teenager as a father of teenagers myself, but we will give it a whirl. We'll try and drop some knowledge, as the kids say. That was a joke. But we will talk to Taylor Fritz. He's practicing in Carson, California, in advance of Indian Wells, where he'll be playing in the main draw. Let's bring him in now, 18-year-old Taylor Fritz. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Where are we getting you here?
I'm just getting some work done on a physio table right now.
You're in California?
Yeah, Carson.
This has been quite a run you've been on since.
Thanks.
Really, since the U.S. Open. The one question that we always get taught not to ask is, how does it feel? Bad question, but I want to ask you, how does it feel? What's this been like the last 9 months?
I mean, it just feels really good because I've been working really hard, and you know, it feels really good to see it all pay off.
What's the bigger adjustment? Playing against adults. I mean, you played. I was looking at some of your opponents. I mean, you're playing 35-year-old men in some cases. What's the bigger adjustment? Playing the adults or everything that comes off court with being a pro, crossing oceans and dealing with security lines and hotels and travel mishaps? What's kind of been the biggest adjustment for you?
I mean, probably doing all the right stuff off the court, like, you know, making sure I get my body worked on. I stretch, I get in the ice bath, I just eat healthier, work hard, just doing all the extra stuff off court that I could get away with not doing in the juniors. But in the pros, you got to do everything you possibly can to give yourself the best chance to win the match.
Who's working with you now? I mean, I know you're coached, you're working with Nankin, and who's sort of helping you with, who's helping you with that kind of stuff? That, hey, look, you should really, you should do the roller to stretch out because the mitochondria need to, I mean, who's helping you with everything that it means to be a professional?
No one really. I mean, with USGA, Rodney Marshall helps me a lot with he does my fitness and, you know, all my, you know, he gives me all the routines to do, the stretching and the cool down, the warm up and all that stuff to help me prepare and, you know, cool down after my matches. But, you know, me getting an ice bath or me eating healthy, obviously that's on my own time. So I have to do that stuff on my own.
I'm curious, what's the role of technology in all this? I mean, I've seen some guys who, you know, they've got their phone and that's pretty much it. And other guys I've seen, they're looking at their nutrition on these digital trackers and they're watching YouTube videos of players they're going to play in the next round. Where does technology intersect with your as a digital native, as an 18-year-old? What role does technology have in your career right now?
Mm, I would probably say none at all. I mean,
you're old school.
I don't think it has. I don't really use technology to benefit me in any way. You know, I eat what I think is healthy. I don't track anything, I'm never the one that watches any clips of my opponents play or anything like that. I kind of just use technology for my own enjoyment, nothing having to do with tennis.
I was going to ask you about the scouting, though. I mean, you play at the top level of juniors, and sometimes you know the guys pretty well, and you get to the top level of the pros, and, you know, Stan Wawrinka knows what Andy Murray's game is like inside and out. When you're in the position you are, though, where you're climbing the ranks, how are you preparing for guys who you're likely never have seen play before?
You know, sometimes I just don't know anything about them, or sometimes I'll just, you know, I'll ask around, or I'll leave the scouting up to my coach.
I got a trivia question for you. Last teenager to win a major on the men's side. You know who it is? Who was the last teenager on the men's side to win a major?
I don't know, Stampers.
I'm thinking, I don't know the answer. I'm thinking Nadal. It got to be Nadal, right?
Oh, yeah, it is Nadal. It is Nadal.
But we talked about it this week about how hard it's been for teenagers to break through. I mean, you're obviously, as I said in the intro, you're up to number 81, and that's with a bullet because you're not doing a whole lot of defending for a while. When we talk about this, why have there not been more teenagers? And the fallback answer is usually the game has just gotten so physical. Do you feel this physicality out there? I mean, do you buy that? Does the game feel considerably more physical at the ATP level than it did when you were playing a year ago? You buy that?
Yeah, it's not even close. The guys that are actually professional are in much better shape, and it takes a lot more out of you to play them than it does a junior.
Is that 100%? Is that endurance? Is that physicality in the point? Does the ball feel heavier, or is that just, look, these guys play best of five matches?
It's everything combined.
You feel that just shot to shot. You feel that point to point.
I mean, yeah, it's just not as intense when you're in the point. It's a lot tougher. You do a lot more moving and a lot more working. You need to put more on the ball. It's everything is just tougher on your body.
That's what Rocket is for, right?
Yeah.
That's why you got Rodney. So we were hearing last summer that, you know, I'm sure you've gotten 1,000 times. If I had a dollar for every time you've heard about, tell us about this cluster of Americans, tell us about this group of peers you have, I suspect I'd be wealthy. But when we were talking last summer, when I think a lot of you guys, you know, Tommy Paul won the French Open and Riley Opelka at Wimbledon and you at the U.S. Open, and I think this cluster really, you know, it's like the alternative band that finally went mainstream. But the one thing we heard about you was that it was really a close call whether to go play college tennis or to turn pro. I don't know. I mean, tell me if that's true or not. But what pushed you over? What sort of influenced your decision?
Well, I mean, I was always on the side where I wanted to turn pro, even when it probably wouldn't have been a good idea for me to with my results. I still wanted to. It was always my my dad who wanted me to go to college and play in college.
How's he feel about that decision now?
I mean, obviously I made the right decision. I never let my my dad hear the end of it.
I was going to say, hope you got some mileage out of that with dad now that you're top 100 after 6 months of doing this. Do you know where you would have gone to? I mean, USC was a school I'd heard.
I was pretty set to go to USC.
You have buddies that go there now? You have friends that go there now?
Yeah.
You're ever it's Tuesday night and you're in Acapulco and you say, boy, I wonder what it would be like to be in the freshman dorm and living the life of a college kid?
No. I'm happier doing what I'm doing now.
How much do you follow other sports?
It depends what sports. I mean, football and soccer I follow a lot. And then besides that, I don't know too much.
Your mom obviously was a former pro, but was this a case where you were an athletic kid and chose tennis? Did you feel like tennis chose you? Were there other sports that you thought about playing instead? How'd you end up here?
You know, it was just always around me. It was always around me growing up. So, you know, and I knew I always wanted to be a professional athlete. You know, I played pretty much every sport when I was growing up. And, you know, that's something that kind of made me kind of influence how I came through with tennis. And kind of later, you know, I didn't do too much in tennis when I was younger. I started getting better at 16 because I was playing several sports up until then.
That was 2 years ago.
I quit. Yeah, it was two and a half years ago. I quit the last sport I still had left, which was basketball.
Pretty much every year
from when I was like 10, I dropped a sport that I was playing.
One sport went by the wayside every year till you left with tennis.
Yeah, and then you know I got down to it, and I'm like, you know what, I want to be a professional athlete. And tennis is my best sport for sure. And I thought I could do it.
I think for a lot of us who have seen you play, I think your game has these sort of reflexive these echoes of Sampras. What players impacted you?
To be honest, I didn't watch a lot of tennis at all when I was younger. I really liked Sampras, but I just really didn't watch that much tennis, to be honest.
Wait, why? I think this is instructive. So you're a guy, you play the sport, you're athletic, your mom has a history. Why didn't you watch tennis? I mean, just didn't translate to TV, or was it the absence?
When I was a lot younger, I didn't. I mean, I was always around it so much, I just didn't really enjoy watching it. I didn't really like it when I was younger, and I thought it was boring also. But I can watch it now, and I enjoy playing now, obviously.
What do you think tennis can do to be more appealing as a TV product? I mean, because I think it's interesting. I mean, I think, you know, it's something I've heard before. I mean, I have kids who embarrassingly aren't a ton younger than you are, and tennis just doesn't register with them the way other sports do. What do you think tennis can do to be more appealing to a teenager at home flipping through ESPN and deciding what to watch?
I honestly don't know. I think people would like to watch more if they could all have players they could get behind. So I feel like maybe getting the more individualized kind of showing each player's personality more. I'm not sure. Maybe just building more of a profile for each player, so people can kind of get behind a player and, you know, cheer for them. But like, you know, because that's what team sports have. Every team has, you know, people cheering for the team.
Yeah, right.
People that are watching games between two teams, they're more than likely a fan of one or the other.
Yeah, I was thinking too. If you were in if you were in Orange County or you were in Carson for half of your games, you'd probably have a different kind of profile than when you're in Memphis and you're in Delray and you're in Acapulco and you've already been to Australia this year. Every game's a road game basically for a guy like you.
I think I just feel like it'd be more entertaining for people to watch if they had someone to cheer for. That just makes sports more entertaining.
All right, hold that thought. Taylor Fritz, every great team has a strong support system to back them up. Every great tennis player, too, as we've just heard. But the same goes for your business. FreshBooks is here to help with that support system. For the best way to manage your books and make tax season easy, get FreshBooks. It's intuitive. It's an easy tool. It makes creating and sending invoices so simple for freelancers and small business owners. I would add writers and tennis players to that list as well. We all have invoices that we'd like to see get paid. We all have tax issues that are coming up in about a month. FreshBooks stands out where it really counts, which is, of course, getting you paid. Create and send invoices in 30 seconds You'll see exactly when your client looked at the invoice you've emailed, so they won't be able to say, can you send it again? I don't think I got that. FreshBooks can send late payment reminders to your clients automatically, which means you're not wasting time chasing them down and fighting clients for payment. The results speak for themselves. FreshBooks users get paid 5 days faster than the rest of us do. So don't take my word for it. Right now, FreshBooks is offering my listeners 30 days of unrestricted use totally free. That's right. You don't even need a credit card to sign up. How do you do it? Easy. You go to FreshBooks.com/sports, enter sports in the How You Heard About Us section. That's FreshBooks.com/sports, enter sports in the How You Heard About Us section, and get paid. So it's the first changeover of the second set. And I walk on the court and I go up to you and I say, how's this match going for you so far, and what do you need to do differently? Are you going to indulge that interview, or is that going too far?
For me, I probably wouldn't mind. I mean, the only problem is that you don't want to give your opponent like your strategy or anything like that. But I've heard about the possibility of doing the on-court interviews, and I mean, I have no problem with that.
I like to hear that. I think you make some really good points, and I think some of it honestly comes down to how much the athletes are willing to cooperate too. But good to hear. In Indian Wells, your first match. I'm gonna be looking for you. I think this adjustment to the pros, again, from where you were a year ago, is really interesting. I mean, have you gotten over the fact? I mean, I was doing the math in my head, and I might be off a little here, but I think you were 5 when Roger won his first major, 7 Nadal, and maybe 9 for Djokovic. I mean, is it weird to look at these draws and sort of see these players that were the stars when you were a kid, and just, hey, there I am a couple of notches away from them? I mean, is that something you need to train yourself to get over? Is there still a wow factor? What's it like playing in the same tournaments as Hall of Fame players that not that long ago you had posters of? Yeah.
I mean, when you stop and think about it, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty crazy that all these people that, you know, I obviously being around tennis my whole life, I grew up like these guys were winning all the slams, and, you know, they were like, you know, they were the biggest names in tennis. And then to see, you know, that's when I was like 12 years old. Now,
that's that now could be the guy on the other side of the net, dude.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy that I can possibly play them first round pretty much any tournament. But I try not to think about it too much, and I just don't think about it too much.
What about the fact? I mean, you'd mentioned that the matches are more physical, and that you're having to hit a lot more balls, and you're probably going to different spots on the court than you were a year ago when you're in the juniors. But in your head, I mean, every sort of recreational player, even, you know, you've got certain thoughts going through your head during a match. Is the mental game different juniors to pros, or are you sort of, you're playing the ball? And I mean, how much has your mental game changed over the last year?
I mean, it's the mental games, you know, it's extremely important. It's probably one of the most important parts of the game, but I mean, I don't think it's really change, you know. I've just had to make sure I'm a little more focused on court, you know, because in juniors I could get away with maybe, you know, losing focus, or, you know, like, but like in the pros, you just have to be on it nonstop. And I mean, that's not too hard. I mean, besides that, my strategies and mental tactics, they're all, I mean, everything's the same.
You like where you are mentally. I mean, it seems, I watched your qualifying match against Zverev in Australia. I mean, it does seem like fighting and closing are two of your strengths. You like where you are mentally?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's one of the best things I do.
Without giving away too much, what are the not best things you do? What are some parts of your game that you're realizing you need to work on? I don't give away too many trade secrets here, but are there aspects of your game that now that you've made this move to the pros, you're thinking to yourself, that's something I need to shore up a little bit?
I think I need to work on my transition and my my volleys. And I think I could work on my my slice and, you know, my movement a little bit. I think my movement can get better.
Hey everyone, I want to give a warm welcome to two new hosts on the SI Podcast Network, Andrew Sharp and Ben Golliver, two guys with real knowledge and passion for basketball. Just had dinner the other night with Andrew Sharp. We were talking about this. They have a no-holds-barred NBA podcast. You want to talk about everything from Steven Adams' mustache to what's going on with Carmelo to LeBron James. They're doing a weekly edition of Open Floor SI NBA podcast. And don't worry, Lee Jenkins is not going anywhere. You just get two shows now instead of one. Subscribe to the Open Floor podcast. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, or SI.com podcast. Andrew Sharp, very funny guy, has his own podcast with Ben Golliver. You should listen. I'm going to keep putting money in my own pocket here and say that, again, if I had a dollar for every time you hear about Andy Roddick in 2003 being the last American male to win a major, I would get very wealthy. I suspect you're going to get a lot of questions over and over again as you go through this year.
Yeah.
How much are you?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, what's the preparation like? I don't just mean for interviews, but just everything that goes into being a professional now. You know, when to withdraw and when not to withdraw, and when to play doubles and when not to play doubles, and going to the interview room and saying the right things after matches. Who sort of shepherds you through that? I mean, how does the process work where everything that's not about hitting a tennis ball that comes with being a professional, who's helping you with that?
I mean, there's a lot of really tough decisions you make, and you feel like each one could make or break a lot of things in your career, and so you're worried about each one you make. But I my team is, when I'm making those decisions, I have my coach, David Nankin. I talk to my dad, my mom, my agents, CA. They all help me a lot with decision making, and I feel really good about my whole team, and they all help me a lot. So I always feel like I'm making the right decision.
You've done 20 minutes of good podcasting, if that's consolation. So where you're off to Indian Wells next? I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's obviously an event that takes place, you know, maybe 90 minutes, 2 hours from where you grew up, especially without too many other events in Southern California. I mean, do you treat this event different? Is this sort of a home game for you?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say like a home game, because that makes it sound like I have like an advantage or something. I just feel like, you know, it's a tournament I'm really looking forward to. And I've always wanted to play it, especially, you know, growing up and going to it so many times as a kid. It's just one I'm really excited to go to and excited to play, and that, you know, I think I'll definitely have the crowd on my side.
Nothing to lose, as we say in sports. You are listed at 6'4", great tennis height, 185 pounds. Is that fighting weight? Is that 185 pounds about right? Is that something you want to add on to?
I definitely want to gain more weight, which I did. I'm about 190 right now. I don't know why it. I mean, it has me listed that because that's where I was at. Maybe like
probably when you turn pro.
Before the off season. But during the off season, we kind of stressed me putting on some more weight and muscle.
Right.
Because I'm pretty skinny. So we were able to. I'm about 189, 190 now.
You have a goal with the weight, or is that you're getting close to where you want to be?
Yeah, I'd probably be happy with like 195 and just more lean, more muscle.
Right. What?
That's probably good.
So I was thinking that part of the you know, part of the fun of getting to know young players. I mean, let's be honest. You're sort of you've had some very, very nice results here, and you're, you know, you're sort of the toast of U.S. tennis right now, it's a good time for you. Part of the fun is getting to know your game, but part of it also is trying to get to know the personality of these up-and-coming players. I mean, what else, you know, you got a blank canvas here. What else are you into? What else are you, the Warriors, World of Warcraft, DJ Khaled, Model Boat Society? I don't know. What else are you about? What else interests you?
You know, when I'm not playing tennis, I'll do a lot on the you know, I'll play a lot of other sports with my friends. And, you know, I'll play other sports like soccer with my friends. I like to hang out with my friends from back when I went to high school, when I have the time. I like to play video games a lot when I'm home. You know, that's pretty much it.
You know, I said asking an athlete how does it feel is probably the worst question you can ask. I think the second worst question might be what are your goals for the rest of the year? But I want to ask you, you're top 100 now, as I mentioned, not defending much in the way of points. Have you kind of recalibrated and set a new ranking goal as you look at 2016?
Yeah. You know, originally I wanted to just to break into the top 100 in 2016.
That didn't take
long.
That
was my goal. And I mean, now that's done, I think my next goal is to sometime in this year get into the get to 50 or top 50. I'm just anytime in this year break into that. That'd be nice.
That means a lot of things.
And then to make sure I finish the year, I want to finish, like, for sure finish the year. Top 80 would be nice.
You're 81 now, so I like your odds. But I do have
about 300 points at the end of the year
in the fall. Right. I was talking to another player who said, top 50 sounds nice and it's a benchmark, but top 50 also means, you know, a lot of things: automatic entry into Masters Series events. Top 50, mm-hmm. big difference between 50 and 81, even if it's only 31 points. But you're well on your way. You've won a lot of matches since the U.S. Open. Seems to be going great, and we look forward to seeing you in the desert.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the time, and good luck out there.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Taylor. All right, that was Taylor Fritz, pre-morning coffee, we're guessing, but a nice kid who's got a very, very bright future. You try to watch him play in Indian Wells. There's a lot of game there. Again, 6'4". He tells us 190 pounds, never mind what the ATP tells us. He's got 5 more pounds to go. Watch him play, and I think you'll see why he's generating so much optimism in U.S. tennis circles. Again, up to number 81, and that's only going to go up. When he says top 50 by the end of the year, that seems eminently doable. We hope he stays healthy. We hope he stays fresh and energetic, and we look forward to watching him in Indian Wells. That does it for this week. Send more guests. There's a vicious rumor that our old friend Brad Gilbert is stopping by. We'll be in Indian Wells, so maybe we can pick off some subjects then. But feel free to send suggestions. Always welcome. Thanks for listening. We'll do it again in 7 days. Enjoy the week. Enjoy Indian Wells. Take care.